following program is a collection of stooges talking about the happenings in the automotive detailing industry. It is meant to be comedic and informative. The opinions expressed on the show do not necessarily reflect the beliefs of their peers, their boss, or their ad partners. There may be some cuss words because that's how grown-ups talk in the real world. If you are a young, please seek permission before watching or listening any further.
Welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast. My name is Alex Russell, and I'm your host. This is the last Q&A of 2023. Is Christmas time when this comes out. So Merry Christmas, everybody. I hope you guys are having a great time with your family, or hopefully you snuck away to listen to this episode because you couldn't take it anymore. So either way, Merry Christmas, happy holidays. We're gonna kind of jump into this. I don't have Bruno slowing me down. So the detailsolutionspodcast.com, that's our website. This is gonna be probably your last chance to check out the preferred vendor page and use any codes with our vendors, because they will be changing when the new year episode hits. Also, we have all the links to where you can find us if you're catching us randomly. Hopefully you're listening to us. Know where to find us on YouTube, on Apple or Spotify. And if you're watching us on YouTube or finding us on YouTube and you'd like to go listen to more, you can definitely find those links there. And then we have the Drip Shop, as it's been renamed, which has all the t-shirts, the Kong, all the Kong shirts, and the logo shirts, hoodies, and hat. if you're not watching us on YouTube and you do want to watch these in long form, I highly suggest probably checking out the next episode on Wednesday. The 27th, I believe, is the date that we're going to do. That one's going to be a fun one to watch. Detail Solutions Podcast is our channel. We are Detail Solutions Pod on TikTok. Forgive me, I got to scratch my throat. And if you're coming down to Orlando for Mobile Tech Expo, that is going to be February 1st through the 3rd, 2024. Make sure when you go to the website, mobiletechexpo.com, that you use the code DSP15 to save 15% off your tickets. And then while you're there, hit the old / golden-mic. Go and nominate us for a nod for the Golden Mic Award this year. It's going to be a tough one to get through. Jeez. Other than that, please go like, share, follow, subscribe, hit that notification button anywhere that you're listening to us. Please leave us a review. It's very important. 5 stars would be excellent. If you're on Apple, write us something fun. My guest tonight is Robin Sweet. You guys probably all know her from everywhere. She seems like she's everywhere. We're going to learn more about how she got into the detail and all that fun stuff. So we'll be right back after this break.
If you have not yet tried Oberg's new APS soap, now is your chance to receive 15% off by using coupon code DSP, all capital letters. Oberg's new all-purpose soap is perfect for all your exterior washing needs. This unique formula combines plant-based cleaning power that is effective and versatile. Whether you are mobile washing or maintaining a ceramic-coated vehicle, APS soap works quickly and rinses easily. This super concentrated formula can also be used on really tough bugs and is very effective in dirty door jams. To find out more, please visit oberkcarcare.com.
Attention detail shop owners, say goodbye to the hassle of multiple orders from all different suppliers. Car Supplies Warehouse is here to revolutionize your shopping experience. We have created a comprehensive online platform where you can find everything you need all in one place. We are constantly expanding our product range, adding new supplies, tools, and equipment. Our goal is to make Car Supplies Warehouse your ultimate one-stop shopping destination. And we don't just stop at providing top quality products. We understand that knowledge is crucial for running a successful business. This is why we offer over 100 online videos specifically tailored to educate and empower businesses like yours. So grow your skills and run a successful business with our online training courses. We take our commitment to education even further by providing in-person training classes. Our expert instructors will guide you through hands-on sessions, sharing their wealth of knowledge and helping you take your shop to new heights. We also have an awesome discount program that ties everything together really nice. Enjoy exclusive benefits and saving as a Car Supplies Warehouse member. Join DetailWise Pro under the Save and Learn tab on our website, carsupplieswarehouse.com, and experience the advantages firsthand. And for a limited time only, we are offering a special deal just for Detail Solutions podcast listeners. Sign up for DetailWise Pro using code PRO30, and you're going to enjoy 30 days of free access and free discounts. There's no obligation. You can cancel anytime. So come discover what you've been missing.
All right, and we're back with Robin. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, all of a sudden I got this coughing fit because I got a tickle in the back of my throat. But
good now. You need a cough drop?
You know, we don't have any. Otherwise, I would go run grab them, but we'll just make do. I'll mute my mic and take a drink or something.
Yeah. Awesome.
So listen, you know, the only real question that I come to the table with is the how, the where, the when, the why did you get into detailing?
All right. So a little history on me. I was a 911 emergency dispatcher.
Okay.
15 years. And, you know, cars were always kind of like my pride and joy. I always kind of took care of my own on my weekends, keeping my own clean. And then it turned into friends and family wanted theirs done. And kind of just started daydreaming one time at work. And like, I should really learn how to do this. I'm interested in paint correction and
right.
I really want to do it the right way. So I went away to some training, trained with Mike Phillips down at Auto Geek.
Okay.
And that was kind of like the bug that bit me. And I decided to come home and create a side gig, a little side hustle, right? And it was working out of my own garage at home. Evenings, weekends, whenever I had a couple days off, I'd do a few vehicles here and there. And then time after time, it was word of mouth. Things were spreading, and I decided I outgrew my space at
right.
home, needed my own little shop, and found the space that I'm in now. So I signed the contract on that just as COVID hit. So now we're talking approaching 4 years in this location.
And that's nice.
That's crazy to me. So it's been busy. And then this past June, end of June, I had to make a tough decision if I wanted to stick around at 911 and juggled two full-time jobs
right
or make a choice and do this full-time. So now I'm detailing full-time at my shop.
Oh wow, so just as of recently you were still doing 911 work?
Yeah
That's cool. I did not know that.
I
just because I mean I see you everywhere at all the expos and all the, you know, you're always at a, it seems like at a training, you know, you see on
right.
Facebook and everything like that, like I didn't know that. That's awesome. So how hard of a decision was that to do? I mean, was it?
It was tough. Yeah. It was very tough, you know, letting go of that comfortability.
Yeah.
Deciding to become my own boss, which sounds cool until, you know, you're actually your own boss.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
your
exactly.
own accountability. Right?
And then you're like, where's all the work at?
What am I doing? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've been lucky enough really to just stay super busy at my shop.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so much so that I can kind of pick and choose some of the clients that I have coming to me now, and okay. a really great base of clients that just are return, and I love that. So I kind of refer people out to somebody else who's local, and that works well for me. And so I can kind of balance doing the events, the traveling, things like that. So back up now 2 years, and at Mobile Tech Expo is where I met. At the time, Megan was with AutoGeek, and we had a conversation, and they were looking to bring somebody on along with Justin Lobato as a trainer. And so I jumped on that offer right away. And so I've been now with AutoGeek, and that's provided me, you know, opportunities, obviously, for trainings and different events. And I just love it so much. I just go to anything that comes my way.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. So 2 years in, so let me ask you this, not to like kind of sound like an asshole, but like, I mean, I'm like 7 years in and people ask me all the time about training and I just go, oh no, I'm like, I still feel like I don't know what I'm doing. Like 2 years in, somebody offers you that. And how do you go like, yeah, I'm a trainer. Like I can do this.
Because I know that I'm a sponge and will absorb.
Okay.
Anything that I sit in on, you know, and at the time I had already gone through Rennie's training and kind of, I also kind of aligned myself with the right people who were already trainers and, you know, well-known in the industry. And I just, this is why I go to events.
Yeah. So you just start picking up little nuggets here and there to be able to do it. Yeah.
It doesn't matter who you are, how long you've been doing it. There is always something to learn.
Yeah.
I think maybe my approach is a little different in the way that my business model is set up too. And so that's probably something that's desirable when it comes to me as the trainer. You know, I just have a little different take on it. So
yeah. Yeah. No, and that's cool because, you know, it's like they say, right? Like not everything works for everybody. So you got to find the person who aligns most with what you're trying to do or what you're trying to achieve. And then maybe that's to train with or something like that, you know? Yeah. No, that's badass. No. Like I said, I mean, I think it's awesome. I've had a few people ask me like, man, I want to come down there and train with you. And I'm like, dude, I go up and down and back and forth and scratches go away. I don't know what I'm going to train you on. Right.
It is difficult to like go from just doing it yourself.
Yeah.
To like talking about it. And I found that like, I'll just fly through a procedure of something and to verbalize each step and why I'm doing it that way is my struggle. That's my challenge now. Right.
Like
at first, you know, a few years ago, my challenge was making those cars perfect. Now I'm challenging myself by becoming a teacher of those lessons.
So what are some of the steps that you're doing or taking that's helping you to go like, okay, I go up and down and back and forth and scratches go away, but now let me convey it to someone so that they understand why up and down and back and forth.
Oh, if you saw me live during a training, you would see like mentally, I'm literally like going through the steps and trying to put it in words, and I'll pause and I'll explain that to my students, you know, I'm so authentic about it. I can't hide it. I'm not going to try to fake it. You know, I'm not here to fake it till you make it kind of thing.
Right.
And, you know, and they all appreciate that. So it's really just about focusing on the steps, and you got to know what you're training on ahead of time, obviously. And if you know, maybe jot some notes down and it'll come back to you, but maybe doing it a couple of times too. And then you just become, you know, one with the words then almost.
Yeah. Do you, cause I mean, you've done it quite a bit now. I mean, obviously. Right. So like, do you have like, I mean, I don't want to say like a lesson plan, like a teacher, but do you have like a plan that, you know, you go into a training and you go, okay, like I'm going to talk about this and I'm going to show them this and explain this and then kind of, you know, step by step by step kind of thing.
Yeah. So most of my trainings have been alongside other manufacturers.
Okay.
Whether it's, you know, Flex, Rupes, with AutoGeek, we kind of brought in the vendors.
Right.
They would talk and I would talk and we would show together. So that was kind of neat to be able to do that most of the time. So I think just like running your business, you kind of have to know your clients, right? And one of my favorite things to do is what I call vet your students before they get there. So maybe have a few minute conversation over the phone with them and get to know them and know what their expectations are. Just like my clients. Right. I want to know what their expectations are so that I know that I'm presenting the material that they want to see and hear.
No, it's awesome.
Yeah. So really it's all, and you know, sometimes we have more of advanced classes, more of a basic class. So really there's a lesson plan, but it's not like written in stone, you know?
Yeah.
Know your audience, know your clients, what works well from them. Some would rather sit down and learn more technical things, maybe from a PowerPoint. Some want to be more hands-on. So kind of have to know that while you're going into it on day one.
So now you're in New York, correct?
Yes.
Auto Geeks down here in Florida.
Right.
So is it a lot of traveling, or do you only have like certain, you know?
Yeah, the first year I did a lot of traveling to Auto Geek, and now the last year has been more aligning ourselves, like I said, with other vendors and things.
Okay.
And manufacturers, and traveling to their facilities. Right. And I've been out to Rupes, Bigfoot Academy, did some stuff at IGL, went to SEMA Garage with IGL and Rupes. You know, then we've got Mobile Tech coming, so I'll be there presenting, obviously.
Yeah. So it's not like you're flying down once a month to do a training at Auto Geek anymore or anything like that kind of thing. Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of just whatever events are headed our way, I'll just go.
Go there. Yeah.
Just go.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, that's kind of what a lot of people want to do, right? They just want to be able to be in a position where when an event comes up, they can go. I mean, that's what we tried to start doing this year with the podcast, by being able to, you know, MTE is easy because, you know, it's 40 minutes away from me. It's like an hour and a half away for Jason. Like, you know, that's a no-brainer, right? But, you know, this year we stepped out and did SDC, you know, just, you know, we knew SDC wasn't going to really be anything big because everybody has been slowly kind of pulling out of it. But we thought like if we go there and 10 new people find us, like it's a win for us, right? It's more listeners, right? Same thing with the Air Force One project. When we got invited to that, that was a really cool thing to do, right? Like we got to align ourselves with that, you know, hopefully, you know, again, put out content that not everybody else is putting out. It gets us more listens. And then the same thing with traveling to SEMA and trying to get stuff. So yeah, I mean, you just got to get out there and it's about exposure, right? Yeah, exactly.
It's exposure for ourselves, and then getting face to face with anybody in the industry, really, whether they're detailers or other professionals, other trainers. Right. You know, I just did the trip to Boise a few weeks ago for the IDA, the shop crawl. That was really cool. It was so much fun. You know,
that just sounds so much fun. Like I really wish anybody who's listening and wants to, you know, step it up a lot notch, I really wish we had the funding that I would love to do like a podcast shop crawl where we could go to different shops around the country and then like, you know, hang out with a person for a day and podcast with them and work with them. And, you know, like to me, that would be kind of the ultimate goal. So anybody out there has got some money that wants to send us? Hit me up.
That's right.
Yeah.
Open your doors.
Yeah. If you want us to come to your shop to podcast, just let us know and send us money.
It's kind of a cool idea. You know, it's unique in that one, exposure, networking, relationships. Exactly. And it's just all about like getting to go into somebody else's facility, whether it's a shop, you know, a storefront, and see how they do things differently and learn from that.
Absolutely.
Whether you take something home and use it or not. You know, that was my take on it, but just meeting people. I'm a people person. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of the same. I'm a little introvert until I'm with people that have similar interests. So around detailers, I'm like, you know, more extrovert about it or whatever. But if I don't have an interest with somebody, it's like, you know, I don't have any need to talk to you. But you're right. Like I enjoy like a couple of my buddies around here. If I have some time that I can go to their shops, you know, and kind of hang out with them for a little bit, just see what's going on, right? Because you see how they're doing something. And again, right, you pick up whatever. The times that I get to go to Atlanta for Haley's Cheer stuff, and I get to stop by and see Noxie and hang out with him for the day and just, you know, pick his brain and watch him and Woo work and all those fun things. I mean, going to the Air Force One project and watching you guys all work on, you know, planes, like, not that I'm ever going to work on a plane, but, you know, to see
how you should have just asked. We would have handed you the polisher instantly.
Everybody tried to get me to. Jason did. Jason, you know, wanted to work on the plane. I just didn't want to get dirty. I was like, no, it's, listen, you know, I guess looking back, maybe next year, I mean, we've kind of been, you know, already invited back. Maybe next year I will, just to say, you know, because that was the one thing I was kind of talking to Jason about afterwards, is like, he can actually say like, hey, like I did this at this event, right? Like, whatever, right? Kind of a feather in his cap. And then I was kind of like, oh yeah, man, maybe I should have, you know, done a little square section.
You had a missed opportunity right there.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe when we go back next year, you know,
hopefully. I mean, if you only do it for like, you know, a couple hours, it's all right. It's like 3 days of being filthy. Yeah. That gets a little old.
Yeah, I can imagine. So was this your first year doing the Air Force One project?
This is my second year. I've been there twice now.
Okay. So when you first got the invite to that, like how was that for you? I mean, was that kind of like a big deal? I mean, were you?
Oh, like, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's like a handpicked selection of very few professional detailers. So to kind of like tell myself I had to put myself at that level. That was something big for me. I remember kind of celebrating that night.
Yeah.
I had gotten a text message / email while I was at dinner or something with some friends. I was just blown away. And never, you know, it was kind of like one of those goals that I had, but, you know, oh, maybe someday I'll get there. Someday I'll you know, on that team. And to have it happen quickly in my career and my, you know, spot in this industry.
Yeah.
I was definitely honored, and to go back again was just fun. You know, it's a good time. It's a long week of work, but
yeah, I can totally relate to that, because I mean, when, you know, we got invited, you know, to me, it was such a big deal because we were the only like non-mafia member, non-sponsor to be invited to this. So like, to me, that was huge.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the time we didn't, you know, I mean, it was a, you know, spur of the moment thing. So it's not like we budgeted for that last year with our stuff. So we kind of didn't have the money. And I told Jason, I said, man, I said, Rennie keeps saying, you know, if you guys can make it, cool, if not, not a big deal. And I said, but I know Rennie, if we tell him no,
one time,
Yeah, he's going to look at that and go like, oh, so it's not important enough to do, you know, like to find a way. And I was like, dude, we have got to find a way. So, you know, sell t-shirts, raffle off some tools, you know, all that fun stuff. We got there, you know, and I feel like, you know, we proved, hey, you know, this is just as important to us as it is to, you know, not only Rennie, but the mafia and everybody that was there, because we did whatever we needed to do to make it happen.
So let me ask you, do you feel like it worked for you? Like it got you more exposure, got you like maybe the goal that you had set for it?
I don't know, because Detail Podcast, at least for me, and Jason tells me all the time that I look into the numbers too much. But like I tell him, you know, I mean, it's technically kind of now a business now that we have advertisers. I mean, if we didn't have advertisers, honestly, I wouldn't care if we had two people listening to us or 5,000 people listening to us. But when there's advertisers involved and we're trying to give them the best that they can, you know, when there's an uptick in listens or downloads, it's awesome. When it, you know, and it happens throughout the year, there's always these ebbs and flows. You know, we have valleys where we kind of drop and then it kind of comes back up. So when the drops is when I really kind of start freaking out, like, why, how come we're not having as many, like, you know, why isn't anybody listening to us anymore? So, you know, with that time, it was, and I don't know if Air Force One helped, but that was a time where typically, so that was in like early July. Yeah. And typically June, like May, June is a downtime, and then July kind of comes back up. So I don't know if we got anything out of Air Force One, because that's typically our upswing time. But for me, whether we got a bunch of listens or not, I mean, the episodes did good that we recorded. Definitely did well. But again, hopefully we were just able to bring a little bit of the event to the people listening or to the people watching, right? Because other than that, it's just the pictures you see on Facebook of everything that's going on. Or, you know, now with TikTok, I know Daniel Gill and, you know, he was doing a lot of TikToks and who, I mean, I know a bunch of them were,
William Lara.
And a couple other ones were doing them. So, you know, other than kind of seeing that aspect of it, you know, I felt like we at least were able to bring, a little bit of what goes on there and how it works and everything. You know, and then just thank you to Adam Garvin for giving us the Super Troopers, you know, get Rennie triggered up on when we were talking to him and then having, and I can't remember his name right now, but the guy who works at the museum was in on it. So he was, he was making sure, you know, to make sure to say trigger a bunch of times too for Rennie. So yeah, it was a good time. You know, so I think just maybe gives us a little more credibility, hopefully, in it.
Absolutely.
You know, but this is, listen, detailing is such a niche kind of market. And then, you know, a detailing podcast is very niche, you know? So like, you know, I say it, you know, and everybody's like, oh, never say it, man. But we're never going to be Joe Rogan, right? Like, we're never going to be millions of, you know, downloads per episode or whatever. But, you know, as long as we can entertain everybody, you know, and hopefully enlighten or, you know, help people out, that's all that matters. Like Rennie says, right? Like, you only got to reach one person.
That's right.
Right. And it makes everything perfect. So, yeah.
Yeah. So and bringing the awareness to like the industry. And I think you guys do a very good job of that.
Thank you.
You know, we just talked about it, but networking and building relationships. And, you know, you said it yourself, it'd be really cool to go to different shops.
I think it would be awesome. Line. Yeah. I mean, if I had the money to do it, I would love to do it. Although, you know, hit that Mega Millions or whatever, and I'll probably disappear from everything and nobody will ever see me again. You know,
nobody will know, but there'll be signs.
Yeah. My wife was like, you'd never do that. And I was like, I don't need my detail friends anymore. I'll buy new friends. You know, she's like, you never. Oh man. Well, let's take a commercial break real quick and we'll come back have some more fun. We'll be right back.
So tell us about your little wheelie journey you had yesterday. How'd that go on the Viper chair?
I stole this Viper chair. I bet they got a shot.
Nice.
A lot of guys were generally trying out going, huh, these things are cool. But it was good fun, especially on this floor. Like, this is a legit carpet and all the cables, it just
rolls right over.
Like, in its stride. Yeah, well done. It's a cool chair. I like it.
How comfortable are you right now?
Very.
Yeah. So do you think retailers should invest in a Viper chair?
You know what? My name's Alan Medcraft. And I would say go buy Viper.
Make sure to go to viperindustrial.com and at checkout, use the code DSP to save an additional $25 off your purchase. That's a stackable coupon, so whatever Viper is giving you off, get another $25 as well.
Do you own a detailing business but want to improve your success online? Or are you just starting out but not even sure where to begin? Let Detailers Roadmap guide you down the road to success. Detailers Roadmap is an all-in-one web solution for your auto detailing business. A custom website designed to help you attract and retain customers without breaking the bank. We'll write and design your website from start to finish and provide ongoing support to ensure it's working great for you. Our custom website packages include everything you need to succeed online. And with our local SEO services, we'll make sure your business gets noticed by customers in your area. So why wait? It's time to take your auto detailing business to the next level with an all-in-one website solution from Detailers Roadmap. Visit detailersroadmap.com to get started today.
Okay, so we're back. Now, at your shop, the Detail Lab, right? So we learned this off air before. It's for your Labrador, right?
Yes.
Not like a chemist lab,
right.
Which I might have to go change the title of this. I was going to say in the lab with Robin, but I guess you're not really, maybe walk in the lab with.
Yeah, both ways, you know, it's all right.
So is it just you or do you have employees or?
It is just me, owner operator.
Yeah. And do you prefer it that way?
Yeah, right now I do. Yeah. Sure. Yep. you know, to hear some of the other struggles with employee retention, employees that actually want to get some work done.
Right.
It's not something that I'm willing to battle right now. And I'm doing A-okay on my own. I've thought about it. Everybody that, you know, brings her car to me. Oh, you should have some employees. You could be so much busier. Yeah. I'm not sure that I want to be busier. You know, I kind of like it.
That's the way that I look at it. You know, sometimes, you know, and I have, because I hate turning down money, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, if I've already got a car in and I can't, you know, do another one and, you know, kind of the same thing, like I'll think about like, man, should I, you know, or somebody be like, oh, if you're so busy, you know, you should hire somebody. And I'm like, yeah, but should I, like, for your little $300 detail, you know, interior or whatever, am I going to hire somebody that I'm going to have to pay basically $300 to do your detail? And then it becomes a wash. And then, like, you know, when I don't have any other details to do, now I've got somebody sitting around that I'm paying to do, you know. So, yeah, that's kind of the way I've
too many responsibilities, you know.
Yeah.
I really keep care of myself. So.
Yeah. Plus, you know, Alan said it great one time when we were talking. He told me, he said, you just have a lifestyle business. It does enough to keep you in the lifestyle you want. And he's absolutely right. Like, you know, as my daughter's gotten older and everything, you know, I want to be able to do more of the cheer stuff with her and take her to school and pick her up from school. So, you know, just being me and picking and choosing kind of jobs, it's nice to work like an 8 to 2. You know, and then I can go and pick her up from school and take her to cheerleading and be done for the day. And, you know, most of the time, you know, when you're doing a correction and coding or whatever, you're sitting in a car long enough that, you know, you could do half days and still get it done in time. So yeah. I look at it. Yeah.
I think it was another podcast, not detailing related, that I listened to recently. And it was like, you know, it's not financial wealth that's wealth now, it's time. Like time is our wealth now. Like I think maybe the industry and like the world is shifting towards that, especially with entrepreneurs. You know, we might chase this dream not to become super wealthy.
Right.
That sounds great too, but to give time freedom. And that was a big thing. That was a huge deciding factor of me leaving my career as a dispatcher. You know, we did 12-hour shifts. You missed weekends and holidays and all the other things going on in life. So that was a big factor in it. And yeah, sometimes 8 to 2 was nice.
Yeah, it definitely is. And you're right. I mean, and especially the older that I get too, like, you know, talking to a bunch of the younger kids, you know, and they're burning the candle at both ends, you know, they're, you know, grinding away at the shop until 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning to get one car done so they can have another one the next day. And I mean, that's great when you're in your 20s. You know, but I turned 50 this year. You know, I worked a 12-hour day on a Wednesday to get this Aston Martin that I was working on that somebody put a rotary on it that should never have put a rotary on it or should have never had a rotary in their hand or you know, whatever. And I could have continued working on it Thursday, but I just wanted it to be done and over with. It was, you know, every panel was kind of like, come on, man, you know, like stop with the rotor. And it had like a ton of like black piano fiber or black you know, the piano finish stuff.
Yeah.
It was just a pain in the ass to do. So I pulled a 12-hour day, and because the kid was home from school, and you know, I paid for it yesterday. You know, my body was like, "You're too old."
No way.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly. So.
Yeah. And yeah. You know, that grind that you talk about, that's cool. I did that for a while too in my own shop. You know, I'm not afraid to admit it. I'll do it again if I have to, but you know, that was my start. That was going back to my challenge, like challenging myself, like how much can I get done? Where can I be?
Right.
Can this work? You know, I had to ask myself and be true to myself. Can I make this happen? If I leave my job, can I make this a thriving business? And so, yeah, I was here till 3-4 in the morning sometimes. But yeah, I'm done with that.
And sometimes you have to do it in the beginning to get going. I mean, I remember when I finally took the leap from the car wash and started, you know, my business, and, you know, it's, you know, every day you're like, am I going to eat today kind of thing, you know? So, you know, 8 to 2s become 8 to 8s, become, you know, 7 days a week, you know, because if you didn't work on Tuesday and you get somebody wants to book something on Sunday, you've got to make up that difference, you know, somewhere. But yeah, I've gotten to the point now where I can do Monday through Thursday. Maintenance washes are on Friday. I have one client Saturday morning that I go and take care of before the girls wake up, and then that's it, you know.
And like you said, you know, you can't say no to money, and sometimes I have a hard time just saying no to people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I'm slowly learning how to do that. But yeah, getting your grind on in the beginning and getting established, that has to happen. You
right.
know, and you have to prove it to yourself and your clients and your market that you are willing to put in the work to get there. I think that's any entrepreneur, any
you know,
self-employment, small business, whatever. I think that's true with anything like that. So.
Yeah, no, for sure. And so with all the traveling that you do for Auto Geek and the Mafia and different things like that, do you ever find it a challenge, you know, to like, man, I really need to go and do like this training or this expo or this event or whatever, but I really should be in my shop?
No.
It's just, we'll see you next week. Shop's closed.
That's exactly it. It's, exactly. That's another reason why employees are on my radar now, because right. I don't want to have to worry about that when I am traveling. I want to just travel and enjoy and be focused on that and not worry about, like, make sure the cars are taken care of, you know, all that comes with it. When you're at a distance. So no, my shop is closed, and my clients all understand that. And they're my clients, you know, whether they follow me on social media or come in and they see some pictures, you know, like Air Force One pictures and such, they all know that I do travel and go to different events, and they love to talk about it. Like, that is a conversation starter. It's a
right.
big thing. When you come in this little room here, it's my front door, and there's pictures of me at Monterey, you know, down at the Quail, Air Force One, and it just, like, it starts conversations, whether it's a new client, a return client. They love it and they respect that. And I think that helps me build trust and rapport with them. Plus, you never know who you're going to connect with. Like, the stories that I've had just of my picture on, like, Air Force One, you know, somebody's father used to work at Boeing, and like these stories that you get to hear. And that's what's important to me is that's my customer service. That's my number one thing. So when they hear that I'm traveling, they're cool with it, you know. And I explain it to them when they call to book, like, you know, I don't just say, oh, I'm closed for a week or I'm booking out. I'll say, oh, I have an upcoming trip, you know, like the next one I'm now booking in February, and I'll say, I'm booked through January. Then I have a trip to, you know, a trade show, Mobile Tech down in Orlando. And sometimes you get like a conversation out of that.
Right. No, that's cool. Yeah. Do you ever see it getting to a point where all the other work that you do with the trainings and the traveling and everything like that just becomes a full-time gig for you?
I mean, sure. Again, if someone wants to pay me enough. Yeah. I really, really enjoy it.
Yeah.
I enjoy the connection with the people. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I'll always want to be, you know, somewhat of a technician. That just kind of in my blood.
Yeah.
But do I want to be elbow deep in interiors forever? I don't know. You know, there's days where I'm like, no, I'm good. And then there's times I'm like, this was easy. I'm fine. I enjoyed it.
Right. Yeah. Now, are you, you know, and all encompassing detail shop, or are you one of those like, I only do paint corrections and ceramic?
Oh, no. I'm a sucker when it comes to like referrals and people, like good clients refer friends or family to me. I'm a sucker. That's the people that I can't say no to.
Right.
So I kind of take on a little bit of everything at this point. That is probably going to be my struggle this year, is transitioning away from just saying, yes, I'll take it. And then only doing the jobs that I really want.
Yeah.
And you know, that seems a little selfish now that I'm thinking about it, but it's not. I mean, it's kind of what I want to do, right? It's my business. I can do what I want. Yeah. It's that pivot, right? We all have to kind of do it. And
listen, yeah. I've been saying it for years on the podcast. My ultimate goal would be, because my overhead is so low, it's a lifestyle business for me. If I could do one ceramic coating a week at my prices, that's all I need.
Yeah.
But I will not stop doing, you know, wash and sealants, clay and waxes, interior details, because there's a weird I feel like there's a weird kind of time in or shift right now in detailing where I want to say, and again, I could just be, you know, completely talking out of my ass or whatever, but I want to say that I think ceramic coatings and paint corrections at that high pricing, or at least maybe from what I'm seeing here, is almost kind of hit the ceiling, I think. And people are realizing, you know, and again, it could just be the saturation for the last couple of years of everybody getting into it and undercutting everybody, that, you know, there are other options. And so I think a lot of the people who have primarily done paint corrections to ceramic coatings at these high prices for so long are now kind of, you know, sometimes you see them like, it's slow now, I'm not as busy now. And again, because they don't do interiors, they don't do kind of the menial type stuff, they're not being able to supplement that income. And that's where, again, I hate saying no to money, you know, and if I got to do, you know, a $300 or $400 interior job that takes me 3 or 4 hours, like that's my rent for the month.
That's right.
You know, yeah. I'll do that, you know, all day long, because then my rent's covered, and now the next thing, you know, goes on. So
it's like you need to balance mentally if you're one, profitable, that makes sense, right? Like if you're paying yourself per hour or whatever you need to do, your base point, and then are you actually still enjoying it?
Yeah.
Or are you just mad every time you get an interior they have to do, right? Like,
I'm usually mad. But again, like I'm not turning that money down, and
right, it's like the balance. Like, all right, well, the money's good, so now I'm happier about it.
Exactly. Well, that's, you know, again, like I had a lady call me the other day, and like yell at me about my prices. Like I started getting offended because, you know, it's she called me about her husband's truck. It had, you know, the rubber floor mats, and it was all, you know, plastic and vinyl on the inside. And so I was like, well, man, all I got to do is just rub everything, or, you know, clean everything, wipe everything down.
Close it out.
Yeah. I was like, $250 for the interior and $100 for a wash. She's $350. Are you kidding me? She's like, the last guy did it for $150. And I was like, hey. Oh, I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Call, like, the last guy.
Yeah. I was like, I mean, we charge accordingly to our services. Well, he did a very good job too. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, man. Go with him. Like, I mean, why are you yelling at me?
If you're happy.
It's like going to Ruth Chris and then yelling at them that their hamburger is $25 when the last one you got from McDonald's was $1.30 or something, you know, like,
There is something to be said about like pricing over the phone and not having a, you know, at least like seeing the vehicle and meeting the client,
yeah,
and then meeting you, and then you can kind of set yourself apart with the type of person you are and what you bring to the table and your higher quality services.
And I typically try to do that more so with like corrections, because again, like that's,
well, you have to, right?
Yeah, you know, but an interior, you can go like, look, it starts here. I need to see the vehicle. It could be, you know, but then you get like, your start price is due, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you know, hey, lady, I'm kind of booked until the end of the year anyway. So
that's right.
You know, that's kind of what I wanted to say. But like, you know,
as soon as I hear them ask price, I think, probably not my type of client.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And again, it's tough to do that, but that's really essentially, you don't want to tire kickers, right?
No, definitely so, not.
And I nothing wrong with that. You know, some people have packages that they serve and, you know, provide their clients with, and that works for them. It's just, it's not my business motto. It's not kind of what I'm chasing now. So,
right. And that's the way that I always kind of, you know, refer to it as, you know, is I want that Ruth Chris client. I don't want the McDonald's client. You know, I want the person that understands why they're paying $25 for a hamburger, you know, what they're getting out of it kind of thing. And what I've also found is, especially with interiors, the ones that typically I'm charging that, you know, $350, $400 plus job are clean, you know?
Right. So what you're saying is more profitable then.
Exactly. Exactly. The last one I did is, he's a good client. He comes to me every year in December because he's usually home for the holidays. And we coded his car last year. He's got an older, 4Runner and he keeps it clean, you know, inside wise, but he's like, to me, it's dirty. And I'm like, I don't even know what to, I mean, like I'll vacuum it and dress it, I guess, like, you know, like, I don't know where to begin, like kind of thing, but here's my price. And he's like, that's fine. You know, every year in December, like it's like clockwork for the last 3 years now. You know, I love those ones that come to me with cars that don't really need a, you know, and I'm still like, hey, this is my interior price, right? It's going to take me, you know, 2 or 3 hours to do, and this is my labor rate, and that's how I come up with my price. And I'm like,
some people view it as, you know, it's a luxury service, which you know, we can all pretty much agree on.
Yeah.
And then there's the one where like it's a necessity that they get their car cleaned. And that's kind of the ones that you have to be careful with, you know, when pricing, obviously.
Yeah. So. And that's where I think there is kind of, and you know, I don't know how it is up there around you or whatever, but you know, the whole reason I started my shop was because the car wash that I worked for sold to a major chain, and then they don't do detailing. So what happened is over the last few years, they've ended up buying a majority of the car washes in Central Florida and now do no detailing, right? Whereas that was a primary place for everybody to go to get their cars detailed. Okay. So now you've got this, you know, huge range of people that are kind of used to car wash detailing prices, and that's what they're looking for. And now, you know, detailers are too expensive, or you have, you know, the mobile guy who will do those prices, and that's kind of who they're looking for, but they don't know when they're just Googling, you know, detail shops near me. And that's why we try to have, you know, Chris did our website, and we tried to make it more of an upscale, look upscale, so people would know, like, you know, this is not the McDonald's guy, you know.
Right.
So yeah.
Oh, Chris. We love Chris.
Yeah.
He's so good at that.
Yeah, except for when he doesn't answer phone calls when you're having a panic attack because you're...
I saw your post today.
Yeah, our credit card got somebody... It's not like physically stole it, but like we had fraudulent charges. And so the credit card company was like, send you a new one. And my detailer's roadmap bill is due tomorrow. I was like...
He's going to shut you down.
Yeah. I was like, man, I don't want to get shut down. And I'm like, just somebody tell me how. Finally, he ended up, although after I kind of, you know, once I kind of calmed down from the whole credit card thing, my brain triggered and I was like, oh wait, they send me an email like once a month and usually I just throw it away. And I went back and read it and there was a way to change it. And then like 10 minutes later, Chris was like, here's the link, change it. And I was like, thanks man, I already figured it out. So sorry, Chris, if you're listening to this. I didn't mean to ruin your travel plans for the
your
holidays.
Christmas break.
Yeah, but I was freaking out. I didn't want my website shut down and turned off, you know. Chris calling me on Tuesday, like, bro, what's going on? You're making no money.
That's right.
So I got money I can afford, I promise. Yeah.
Will you take a gift card?
Yeah, exactly. You trade out. Let's take our last commercial break and we'll come back and wrap this up. We'll be right back. Every pad you would need, including tire pads, towels, got them. Windows, wheels, interiors, paint, the all new mitt on a stick for hitting taller vehicles, or the new bug sponge for fronts. And then we have the Dragon Wash Sponge Mitt. It's perfect for the two bucket system. Glides on the cars, easy, soft on the paint. Hey, don't forget, go watch us on YouTube. Check out our channel. And in the barrel blade, it's perfect for getting in between those tight wheels, calipers. We also have the Dreadknot. It's the staple of all auto fiber towels. If you're not using it to dry, you're missing out. And in the new wheel paw for getting those faces, getting in between spokes, getting the lug nuts, all those hard to reach places. So go to autofiber.com. Make sure to use the code DSP at checkout.
Hey everybody, Rennie Doyle here, founder of the Detail Mafia and Detailing Success. You know, I love quotes and this is one of my favorites. It's not enough to do your best. You must know what to do, then do your best. There's a lot more to detailing than just making paint shiny. To be successful, you need to be a well-rounded detailer and most importantly, an entrepreneur. At Detailing Success, I really take pride in that we'll not only teach you the highest level detailing skills you need, but we will mentor and coach you to be a profitable business owner. Our advanced 5-day training is held monthly at my hometown, in the beautiful town, I may say, of Big Bear Lake, California. If you want to learn more, email me directly at rennie@detailingsuccess.com or visit detailingsuccess.com and ask about our special offer for our podcast listeners. Happy detailing, everybody. Take care. We'll see you next time.
Okay. So the questions that everybody should know answers to, but people still get stumped. So the first one that I always ask is, when did you realize your worth? Like, what was that moment where you just kind of like, I am worth the money that I charge or for the stuff that I do?
The day I opened this shop up, I knew that I had to go into it already knowing that. Otherwise, I'd always try to climb my way out of that hole.
Right.
So that was pretty early on.
That's a good answer. Usually for people, it's, four or five days into a $200 detail. You know, they're like, I'm not making any money.
Yeah.
I'm worth more than this. And then the fun one, so it's a Madison Square Garden. It's Friday night, or it's fight night. It's WrestleMania, whatever. You're heading into the ring. What's your song that hypes you up and lets everybody know who you are?
Oh, I don't know if I have just one. I'm so all over the map when it comes to music. And actually, speaking of Chris, he will remember this. Uh-huh. When we went to Monterey Week and I played DJ up front in the van.
You
probably offended a few people. boy, one song, huh?
Yeah.
Why is that a tougher question than the first one?
Dude, it's the one that gets everybody.
So
I asked it to Jackie Orlando, and she's like, every song I've ever known just escaped my head. I can't even think of a song right now.
So I share with Sarah from Memphis, Sarah Coleman. She and I will send each other songs like Spotify. It kind of like depends on what she's listening to in the morning. And sometimes it's like, all right, I get it. And sometimes she hits it like Like she was standing in the room with me.
Right.
And like sends me a song. I'm like, that's the one. That's my fire song today, you know?
Yeah.
And so yeah, that's why I can't just pick one. It's really
I know it's mood dependent,
is mood dependent.
But you know, it's gotta be one that is like your all time.
All right. Favorite, ready?
Know? Yeah.
Ice Ice Baby.
Nice. What is Ice Ice Baby?
Just Vanilla Ice. It's just, I know every dang word to it. I don't know why. It's like my special hidden talent, right? Yeah, that goes back to many moons ago. But I remember my college roommates and I like playing that on a cassette in a Ford Escort, like back and forth to the horse barn and just cranking it loud. I don't know. It kind of brings me back there and it just... Yeah. It's upbeat. I mean, who can't like that song?
No, it's awesome. Listen, I'm going to super date myself. I mean, everybody already knows that I'm kind of old, but I remember my buddy had that on like the original like EP cassette before it even like was released on like the full length album, like after it hit big. I mean, he was like, dude, you got to hear this song. and I mean, I think there was like, I don't know. I mean, I think maybe there was only like four or five songs on the EP or whatever. And, yeah. And then it was like we were already listening to it. And then it was like, you know, hit MTV, hit the TV or hit the radio stations, got real big. And then like the full length album came out, like, I don't know, year later or something like that. It was crazy.
So I probably am the opposite of that. Cause I probably didn't start really like listening to it until after it wasn't so cool, right? Like,
right.
I missed the mark on being cool, and now I'm just kind of corny. Like, oh,
yeah,
that's her song, well, really.
I mean, listen, I'm gonna admit, I love that song. I mean, every time it comes on, you know, and everything. But like, you know, kind of looking back, I don't know if it was ever really cool. I think it just one of those songs that you just
touche, Alex.
You touché. Just have to, you know, you just, it's just. I don't know. I mean, it's just one of those songs.
Right, you just put me in my place, yeah. Thinking I'm cool. I'm not.
Exactly. You know, I remember listening to Queen came on one time, and it's what's the Queen? I don't know. The Queen song that he took over, or you know, copied the beat to or whatever.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Under Pressure, I think, or something like that. Right. Yeah. And so it comes on, and then like, you know, Freddie Mercury starts singing, and this was when my daughter was little, and she goes, "That's not, I thought that was Ice Ice Baby song." Yeah. You know, and I'm like, "No, this is the song.
Gets us every time."
Yeah, that he sampled. This is the real song. Yeah, and it was funny because then me and my wife used to watch the Vanilla Ice Project on Discovery or whatever.
Yeah.
And Haley would look at him and she's like, "That's not the same guy from the video." We had to try to explain to her that like, the video was in the 80s.
Right.
You know?
That's what you call a pivot in business right there.
Yeah, you know, and she was like 6 or 7 at the time that this was happening, and she was like, "I thought everybody from the 80s was dead." And I was like, "Hello." Like, I'm still here. That's just how bad it was. She just thinks the 80s is so far away.
She's right.
Yeah. So the smart list question is kind of a play on, you know, where do you plan to be in 5 years, right? So the old Bewitched, you know, if you could wiggle your nose and make your business be exactly what you want it to be right now, what does that look like?
Again, I don't have any. I was asked this probably last year. I was asked the same question, and I know this sounds horrible because, you know, set your business goals and make a business plan. I don't have one. I literally wait for doors to open and I just crash on through them and hope that it works.
Right.
So I don't have a 5-year plan for my business. That's my plan.
But when you think like, you know, when you're sitting there daydreaming and you're like, man, I like if everything aligned and fell into place, this is how I would want my business to be. Like, what does that look like?
Cloning myself. And leaving one in the shop to do what I'm doing now, maybe a little younger and more, you know, agile.
Right.
And just doing the same thing. I really love what I do, but then I want to be able to travel and do events and trainings, and explore and meet people. So how I go about getting there, I don't know. I don't know what that looks like. Right now it's a great balance.
Yeah.
So maybe that's my answer. It's just kind of what I'm doing today.
No, that works. Yeah. And then the new one, we've only asked it a couple of times now, so I don't know if you've caught it yet.
I didn't.
And so this one is, and I don't know where this came from. It just popped up one day in my head. What's your death row last meal?
Oh, a corn dog.
Your last meal on earth is a corn dog.
Corn dog. Awesome. I mean, simple.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. Yeah.
Ketchup, maybe like barbecue sauce, mustard.
Maybe mayonnaise, like a peanut butter milkshake to go with it. That'd be good.
Yeah.
Corn dogs, because it's not something you have a lot. Like, I could say steak and potatoes, but I eat steak and potatoes pretty regularly. Yeah. Like pizza, I have it regularly. Like,
yeah.
Corn dog, if I have that once a year.
But I mean, you're death row. I'm sure you're not eating steak and potatoes and pizza for years. So.
Right. No, I'm good with a corn dog.
Yeah. Okay.
Sticking and peanut dog. Butter milkshake.
There we go. Corn dog and a peanut butter milkshake. That's perfect.
Heard it there.
So, if anybody would love to reach out to you and learn more about, you know, the training things that you do or the different events that you do and everything like that, what's all your ats, as the kids say these days?
Yeah. Facebook is probably numero uno, and that makes me old, I guess. But that's where I do most of it. And I'm horrible about posting for my business page. So the Detail Lab, you know, is more business related, but follow me, Robin Sweet, on Facebook. Detail Lab on Instagram. And I think it's like the Detail Lab Chatham on TikTok. Don't expect much. I'm horrible at posting on social media.
Listen, I made a big push for us to get to 1,000 followers so I could go live on TikTok. Yeah. I've done like one. it was such a letdown because it was such a letdown because the whole reason I wanted to go live was because we can link Restream to TikTok.
Right.
but you know, I was always under the impression you had to have 1,000 followers to go live. So I was like, great, we get 1,000 followers. We can restream the podcast to TikTok, just like we do with Facebook and YouTube. And then come to find out that in order to do a streaming kind of service like this or Twitch or any of those other ones, you actually have to have 3,000 followers. So like all the air kind of came out of the balloon because I don't like walking around with my phone and kind of trying to talk into it or entertain people that like that. So the only live we did was one day I turned off the mic, turned off the headphones, used my computer stuff, and I took my phone and put it in a on a tripod holder. And I lived my end of the computer so that they could hear, you know, the guest speaking through the speakers on the computer. They could hear me talking. Okay. We made like $7. I mean, made something.
It's a start.
Exactly. It's a start. I mean, we're no Gray Scott over here, but you know, we made something. So
yeah.
Well, listen, Robin, I appreciate you doing this. Thanks for being the last guest of 2023.
That's fun. I can't believe 2024, man. It is just...
I know.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
It's literally right around the corner now. Any big plans for 24?
Again, just waiting for those doors to open. I'll just crash through them. That's it. I will be at Mobile Tech, so I'll be doing the new Mobile Tech Expo Detailing 101. That's on the Wednesday.
Okay.
And then Thursday, I'll be there for the Education Day as well. And then I'll be at the Expo on the floor with Auto Geek at our booth for the other 2 days. Awesome. So yeah, I'll be there all week. Hopefully it's nice and warm and sunny down there in Florida.
I know you guys always bring the cold down with you. Yeah. It seems like every year it's like warm right up until the weekend, and then you guys all come down and then it's like 40 degrees. And
we're always like, what is this people talk about right. Florida? Why do they
And then you guys there? Leave on Monday and then it like goes back to like 80 and it's like, right. Yeah. Well, Jason and I are going to be mobile this year at Mobile Tech with the podcast. So we will definitely, because we want to go booth to booth. We loved the live aspect earlier this year with the Detailers Roadmap booth. But we weren't able to get out and see everybody. So we'll definitely have to stop by the Auto Geek booth and say hi and see what Absolutely. You got like, doing over there and maybe
get we'll have a car set up, so we'll be demoing some stuff there with our new tools, oh, nice. Products. Yeah, that worked out well last year and I'm pretty sure we're doing it again this year, so
okay.
Yeah, it's nice to have everyone come and meet them face to face and just talk about life and business and detailing.
It's networking's the key, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. Well, listen, I appreciate it. Doing this on a Friday night.
Sure.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Happy New Year.
Family and all that fun stuff. And we will definitely see you at Mobile Tech. And yeah, have a great night. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. All right, everybody. So that was it. The last Q&A of the year. Hope you guys enjoyed it. I've only bumped into Robin a few times, just kind of saying hi or whatever. So it was awesome to like actually spend some time and get to know her a little bit and have a conversation with her and all that other fun stuff. So please remember our preferred vendor page on the website, the detailsolutionspodcast.com is going to be changing in the new year. So if you need anything from our vendors, now's the time to use that code last chance. Make sure to go and support them even after, if they're not supporting us next year. They all are our friends. Just because they're not supporting us doesn't mean that we're not going to support them anymore. Make sure you go to mobiletechexpo.com/golden-mic and give us our nomination. Please give us a nomination, a vote for us. I don't know, whatever it is, leave us a cool little thing. That's kind of how it goes by. We definitely don't want to lose this year. Third time's charm, hopefully. And if you would love to be a guest on the podcast, please email me at detailsolutionspodcast@gmail.com. Until then, or until next week for the last What's on Your Mind, have a Merry Christmas and we'll see you guys soon. Bye.